This is Ben Crenshaw. You're listening to Radio Golf Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. Joining us today from the archipelago of Bermuda, and this is evidence of the kind of research we do here in preparation for an episode. Bermuda consists of 181 islands. I did not know that. He is a returning Golf Show All-Star who was with us almost 2 years ago to the day when, as a 15-year-old, he qualified for the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, a professional golf tournament on the PGA Tour, and became the youngest player to compete on tour since 2014. Well, you've guessed it, ladies and gentlemen. He's 17 now, and he has done it again. About a week ago, he navigated the blustery conditions and tricky pin positions around Port Royal Golf Course, returning a score of 147, 5 over par, over 36 holes, finishing third, 3 shots behind 42-year-old Will Hadrell, with whom he had shared the overnight lead at even par. Dear Oliver, congratulations on that major achievement. It's good to have you back in the Butterfield, and it's good to have you back here on the show. Welcome again to Radio Golf Show.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's really, really great to be back, and great to be back on the biggest stage to play in the PGA Tour event this November.
There you go. Well, when is it, the Butterfield? Middle November?
Middle November, 13th to the 16th.
But the qualifier, let's start right there. With that local qualifier, which just was a week ago, exactly, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
7 days ago. Exactly. You got off to a horrendous start with a triple on your very first hole, and I believe a bogey on the second hole.
Yes.
Of the tournament.
This is the second round.
The second round. So you're 4 over par for the round after 2 holes.
Mm-hmm.
You had the overnight lead, tied for the lead. What was going on in your mind at that moment after the second hole?
I mean, it was obviously a rough start, and you know, sharing the lead overnight was, you know, you're thinking about this next shot, this first tee shot on the first hole, and you're picturing a great start with, you know, maybe a birdie in the first couple holes with a par five on the second. So it was definitely a little bit of thrown a wrench in my system there, starting like that. But, you know, it was a situation where bad shots kind of compounded a little bit. But I mean, mindset was pretty much, it's only the start and I still have 16 holes to play. So I've made 4 birdies in a row before. I've made 5 birdies in a row before. I have shot 4 under on the back nine. I've made all of these different scenarios before. So why can't I just do it again this time?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, yeah, that was the mindset. And at the end of the day, it was more kind of staying steady, not being in a situation where now I'm 4 over par, let me start attacking pins. Mm-hmm. Let me start being way more aggressive to try to make birdies. So, I mean, what I basically did was just follow the process and stick to playing solid decade golf, which hey, I've been doing. And it worked out, you know, yeah. able to make a bunch of pars and, you know, finishing steady.
A very mature approach for a 17-year-old. You played the other 16 holes, I believe, in 1 over par.
Yeah.
In, as I said, difficult conditions. And there were a couple of guys chasing you as well. So, well played.
Thank you.
What does it mean to you, Oliver, to play the Butterfield again at your home club? You made your first hole in one there when you were 8 years old. You won the club championship in 2022,
Yep, that's
correct? When
right.
you were 14, but when you were in 2019, you were a standard bearer, the guy that carries like the scoreboard and walks
Yep,
with the
that's right.
group. And at that time, it was still called the Bermuda Championship. But you walked around, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I couldn't quite confirm it, but you walked around with the group that had the eventual winner, Brendan Todd, in it,
That's
as well as
correct.
a young Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, that was a crazy group that I was in there. That was so much fun. It
Well,
was,
Scotty was
yep.
23 years old, and he was just Player of the Year on the Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
But what was that like?
It was really nice to get a good insight into what it takes to win, following around the final group, which I haven't done in a while, actually, now the last few years, but being able to walk with them the whole round, watch every shot, watch their process, I think definitely gave me an insight on what it takes to win. Because we had, yeah, the group was Scottie Scheffler, Brendan Todd, and Harry Higgs, which are big names in the golf world. And this is before Scottie, shot off like a rocket and got really big. But still, it was just crazy to see how steady these guys were playing and with ease making birdie after birdie and climbing the leaderboard. And it was just always really interesting how they were, back and forth with each other score wise. It was just a battle, but very silent one, where you have kind of more angry battles where you're really competing against another person, where this is you're playing against the course and you could just see he'll make a birdie, he'll sink a putt, and then the next guy will return the favor on the next hole, make more birdies. It was really, really good back and forth competition there. That was really
I
great to
mean,
see firsthand.
since then, Scotty has held the number one spot in the world for more than 150 weeks. He's won four majors. I believe he's one major away from the completing the career Grand Slam. I
That's
mean,
right.
you were only 11 then. But do you remember anything from back then that Scotty impressed you with more than the other guys did?
I think the one thing that I really remember about him was his attitude. He was just a happy guy. Like, he always had a smile on his face and he was happy all around, He didn't really get super upset with his bad shots and he was just in a good mood. It just seemed like, and that rubbed off on me good in the right way, yeah.
And playing it at home in front of your friends and family on a track that you know in, probably than anybody else better than anybody else in the field. What impact does that have on you next month?
Yeah, it's gonna be quite a bit of pressure, I would say, but I don't think pressure is a bad thing. I feel like I play better under pressure. It's just, having people watch you, there's obviously an expectation this year of one of the Bermudians making the cut. That's kind of been since it started. It's always been we want one of the Bermudians to make the cut. So I've already had a few or a lot of guys come up to me saying, well, you should make the cut this year. You need to make the cut this year. I'm just thinking that is one step. Making the cut is just something that can come as an outcome of playing good golf. I'm not thinking that, I need to make the cut. It's more of following the process, and if making the cut happens, then that's how that that
Yeah.
goes.
But would that be a goal for you? I mean, I'm sure you set your goals, and we've talked about short term, medium term, and long term goals. Would that be a short term goal for you? I mean, you can't really control making the cut because you have no idea what the other guys shoot.
Exactly. I mean, the cut's going to fluctuate.
Yeah.
I would say more of a goal is committing to every shot and making sure that I've done everything in my power to prepare for the event, you know, because after that, it's mostly out of my control. You know, I'll be able to hit the shots, and you know, the outcome will be what it is.
Yeah. I mean, when you played 2 years ago, I believe Camilo Villegas won with 260, 24 under par. I mean, it's quite a number. Yeah, I'll be I'm one of those guys that'll ask you, why don't you make the cut? You've played and won tournaments pretty much all over the world, from Argentina to Switzerland, from Scotland to Paraguay, and of course in the United States. Yet you've been ruled ineligible from a Bermudian event in which you won low amateur in 2023, because they raised the minimum age required to compete to 18. I mean, when you were 15, you won there as a low amateur. When you were 16, you finished fourth in the amateur competition. And now that you're 17, they won't let you play. Without commenting on it, just one question to that. I don't know any of the story behind it, but will you be back competing at the Johnnie Walker Classic at Ocean View when you're 18?
That is the plan, yes.
That's the plan. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. He will be there when he's 18. Must have been pretty weird for this to happen at home.
Yeah, it was quite confusing, but this Johnnie Walker Classic was the week before the qualifier, and for me, the Johnnie Walker is more of a practice event where I get to compete, because it's one of those events where you're getting all of the best players in Bermuda into one field, and we're all playing against each other. You know,
Right.
it was more for the competition for me than it was for the tournament's sake. When they told me I wasn't allowed to play, I was definitely surprised and confused of the reasoning for this. And they said it was because of alcohol's involvement. Now, I don't know if this is just a sudden rule change, because, you know, plenty of other events that I've played in are all sponsored by alcohol. So
Oh, there you go.
it's a bit weird, but
Oh, it's good.
at the end of the day, it was just an event that didn't really mean too much. And, you know, if this gives me more time now over that weekend to practice at Port Royal, because the event wasn't at Port Royal, then it gives me that little edge of a couple more days practice over the field that played in that Johnnie Walker. And
Right.
I actually just looked the other day. What's funny is all three qualifiers for the tour event didn't play in the Johnnie Walker this year.
Wow. Well, there you go. But still, you must have been a little bit disappointed.
Obviously, yeah, it was a bummer, but it wasn't a big enough deal for me to, you know, make too big of a stink
Yeah.
about it. So,
Well,
you
yeah.
know, I can come back next year. Just it was a little bit confusing,
Yeah,
I'd say that.
I'm glad you said you'll be back without holding any grudges, and that's the way these things have to be dealt with. Like I said in the beginning, you were here 2 years ago when you were only 15. How has your game changed since last we spoke? You must have grown physically and gotten stronger and bigger, but how would you assess has your game changed?
Yeah, so I mean, since last time we spoke, or I played in the event, I haven't grown too much, maybe a couple inches, maybe one or two, but definitely gotten stronger. I've been going to the gym, and that's one of the key points nowadays for pro golfers and amateurs and college players to be strong, because that is one of the main things, getting the distance out of your tee shots for sure. But I would say one of the main things that has changed is I've got, new shots in my bag now. So I can hit more unique shots and be a little bit more creative with my shots as well. So facing diversity on the course is a little bit easier.
What would you think you need to do differently with each phase of the game?
At this point,
Going forward.
going forward, still with the driver or with tee shots, I'd want to get even farther, because distance never hurt anyone.
What's your average, would you say, now your driving average?
Total distance is around 305.
305, that's not enough.
Yeah,
No.
it'll work,
Come
but
on, for a 17-year-old, it's got to be all right.
it is all right, but why not get stronger and faster?
Right. How about the other phases of the game?
So, iron play, I would say getting more consistent with the striking the ball. Just that'll take repetition, and just getting as many reps in as I can, in different lies as well, rough, fairway, sand, just being able to hit solid contact with whatever it throws at me. So that's something I'm looking to improve with the irons a little bit. Wedges at the moment are feeling really good. Like, I'm able to control distances quite well. So, right now, actually, I've been working on kind of getting a bit more diversity in the ball flight. Who I've been working with, or just one of my mentors, Michael Sims, who is one of the best Bermudians golfers that have come out of Bermuda, and he's been mentoring me a little bit now, and just we've been working on getting the ball flight of the wedges a little bit higher, because me in Bermuda with wind, I'm mostly hitting the low penetrating spinner, which is a great shot and usually works, but just being able to hit that higher shot that lands but still gets spin, is something that's crucial. Let's see what else. Putting wise, can always improve putting in all ways. In the qualifier now, I didn't have any three putts, so that was something positive. I gained strokes. I did, after doing my stats, I saw I was strokes gained putting. I was plus 1.25, I believe, which was really solid, and that's what, saved me a little bit out there. So, putting wise, I'd like to make more putts in that mid length between, say, 6 and 20 feet, where I would just like to make more.
Okay. Couple of things. The wedges, I mean, growing up in playing in Bermuda, which is like you said, a windy place. Those high wedges are not going to be much in demand next month, will they?
No, they will not. No, but you never know. You might have a tree or a short-sided pin that you might need to use the shot for. So, it's better to have it on hand than be stuck with just one way to do it.
And are you a big stat guy? I mean, you just mentioned the strokes gained putting. Is that something you do? You pay a lot of attention to for practice, or how can I imagine that?
I like the data collection part of it. So, for the last 3 years now, I've been doing all of my tournament rounds. I prefer to just put in tournament rounds because it's not the same level of intensity when you're just, playing a round of golf for practice.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I've been doing my stats for a while. I think I have around 150 rounds in now. So I mean, yeah, it's been good to have that data. So
Right.
if I want to check what I need to work on lengthwise, what yardages I'm lacking a little bit, I can go and check and work on those.
Right. 150 rounds this year, tournament
No,
rounds?
within the 3 years.
Within the 3 years. Yeah,
Yeah.
that'd be a lot.
Yeah, that would be.
But you've been to a bunch of different places. I mean, you've played and I don't know if it was this year or the last 2 years, courses like Pinehurst 2, Torrey Pines, the Blue Monster at Doral. How does that help your game, going to those big boy courses where they play majors?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, like Torrey Pines, we were set up at 7,300 yards, which was definitely prob well, maybe even the longest course that I've played. But just getting the exposure to the different layouts, the d different grasses, different conditions, is as crucial as it gets, really, because just being here on the island and playing one course or a couple courses that we have here, just isn't going to prepare you for playing at that next level in the US or wherever I
But
go.
is it intimidating to stay? I mean, obviously, you're so close to the game and you know about the history of it and about golf course architecture, I'm sure. Is it intimidating or exciting to step on the tee at Torrey Pines, first tee at Torrey Pines or Pinehurst number two?
Obviously, a bit intimidating because these courses have made such a name for themselves. So yeah, it's intimidating, but after getting the practice round out of the way, you can usually get a feel for how to play the course and how your game can work its way through the course. And I mean, yeah, Pinehurst number two was a little bit of a struggle for me with the turtleback greens and with how fast they were rolling as well, because we just don't get that here.
Right.
Green speeds here, you can't have them fast because it's windy all the time. If you have
Right.
fast green and it's windy, it's the ball's gonna roll all around. So it was definitely good to get the experience on such good greens.
Yeah. Just as a side note, Port Royal, the way the course is set up day in, day out for the members and for the guests who come and play, as opposed to how it'll be set up for the Butterfield, big difference or pretty much the same golf course?
Earlier in the year, same, but now, kind of in the couple months leading up to the event, you can definitely tell that they're doing unique pins. Like, I mean, the last few days now, you've had pins that are 2 yards off the edge of the greens or are on the middle of slopes where you'd know they're definitely not going to be for the tour event. But it's the same with the tee boxes. Like everything has been moved up now for the last few months already, just to give the tee boxes time to recover and get them in the proper shape for the event.
And the speed of the greens?
Speed of the greens, they've gotten faster. They're not super fast, but I think they're on the stint meter. I'd say between 9 and 10.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're
Just
not
because, like you
fast,
said,
but.
when it's blowing on a links course, the ball doesn't just oscillate; it just rolls around. So,
Yeah, but the conditions of the course has gotten a lot better this year compared to the last few years, because I know Port Royal hasn't been known on the PGA Tour for having good condition. So this year, Port Royal and the PGA brought in a new superintendent from Hawaii, or kind of someone who's managing, kind of seeing what needs to get done. And he's been here since May, I believe, and
And
he's
you've
done a
seen an
great,
improvement.
crazy difference. Like, he just really knows what he's talking about, and he was able to turn the course around now, especially with the greens. So I'm hoping we can keep it this way.
But the tournament seems to appeal to the players. Camilo Villegas and Higgs, big names. Matti Schmidt from Germany is coming this year. So obviously, there's some sort of appeal for them in this part of the schedule to come and play that event. When you Google the name Oliver Betschart these days, you get a plethora of articles on PGAtour.com, Golf Week, NBC Sports, ESPN, Golf Digest, the Royal Gazette, of course,
Obviously.
some of various Swiss outlets, and even on Golf Post in Germany. And these men and women with their pins refer to you as the Wunderkind or as the local hero, ein Schweizer Stern am Himmel, a Swiss star in the sky. And even we introduced you in our most recent announcement as the Bermudian slash Swiss prodigy. And before I get to my real question on this topic, let's make a quick pit stop at the Slash. Did you watch the Ryder Cup?
Of course I did.
Of course. Share with us, please, if you will, your impressions of what took place on the black those 3 days.
Well, I was obviously re rooting for Team Europe, so I was quite pleased with how they started the first couple days. But I mean, you could definitely see their team chemistry was better, I find. The first couple days where they had that team formats, I feel like they gelled a bit better. They knew each other better, and they just worked better as teams. But then once Sunday singles hit, it just seemed like I mean, it didn't seem like it, the Americans dominated. And it was possibly a lot to do with that they don't do a lot of team formats that I mean it was it, it's a really a mystery kind of why that happened, but they might just be a little bit more independent players. But it just yeah it was pretty crazy, some of the shots they hit. I think the most impressive shot that I saw was on the 18th from Russell Henley out of that bunker, hitting to the back left pin. I mean, it was sad that he missed that putt for the Americans, but that was probably one of the most impressive shots that I've seen.
Having played that course well over 200, 300 times myself, just the shots they hit, and you can't see on TV how difficult, and they prepared the course. But they're still very, very difficult shots, and to those pin positions. But you have some experience in team format. I mean, you played for Bermuda in a couple of championships, right?
A couple, yeah. What was it? This year I played in well, it was the Bermuda Four Bowl Championships, which I won, which was really good to get the experience in that team format. But where's the other team we did? We did Island Games in 2023. It wasn't a team format, but we played for Bermuda in that team. And it's definitely different when you're kind of in a group with other players that you're relying on and they're relying on you. It's a different kind of feeling, but I think that's
Yeah, I love playing four ball. I mean, and even if there's just two of you, I can only imagine what it's like when there's 12 of you. It must be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Having Bermudian and a Swiss citizenship, is making Team Europe a long-term goal of yours?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that would be quite a dream come true to play in a Ryder Cup for Team Europe.
Well, thank God you can't play for the Americans.
Yes.
So we're good on that front. And I understand Alex Noren, who was the vice captain at Bethpage, has played the Butterfield,
That's right.
and finished second. So maybe he's there and you can say hello.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Noren, wow. What was it? I think, I'm not sure if it was last year or if it was the year that I played in the championship, but I remember him coming out hot and shooting 10 under the first day.
Right.
And me and David, my coach, we were talking about it, and we were like, that's the level we want to get to be able to, show up on the first tee and shoot 10 under.
Back to my original thought on that topic, the Wunderkind, the Swiss star, the prodigy. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we felt uneasy about using the prodigy label until we consulted with Mr. Webster and his dictionary. And he defines a prodigy as a youth with exceptional talents, which you clearly are. Two questions to that. Clearly, talent is not nearly enough to make it these days. One could even say that a hardworking player of above average talent would beat a lazy Wunderkind most of the time. So, how much work in hours per week do you put into your game? And as a follow-up, what emotions run through you when you read these headlines written about you?
Okay, let's go to the first one. So hours per week. So I'll play 6 days a week on average, I would say. Take one day off, but I'll still probably do an hour of practice on the day off. And oof, I mean, normal day is gonna be playing 18 holes. So say that's 4 hours. Then like maybe half an hour warm up before quickly, and then maybe another half an hour at the end. So probably around 5 hours a day, so 30 hours. So yeah, about 31 hours.
A week.
I would say average around 30 hours a week, yeah.
Right. And when you read those, and surely your friends and your the guys you play with, your friends at school, or your friends that you hang out with, they must look at these things too, what they write about you. How does that, I mean, from an emotional standpoint, does it give you pressure? Does it motivate you? Does it scare you?
I mean, I try not to focus on it too much because I mean,
I mean, it's
people will
pretty
say
cool,
what they
no?
will. It is, it is,
Yeah.
it is cool for sure. I mean, I realize that there are a lot of other juniors with talent and that can compete with me as well. So I think everyone deserves recognition for what they do, and I just being in Bermuda and getting opportunities like the PGA Tour event, like traveling to all these different countries representing Bermuda, was definitely a plus from being from Bermuda. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where people will say what they want, and it's fine. I don't like to resonate too much with it. Just try to be a bit humble, It's obviously great for news, and having a good story about it, but I think everyone deserves recognition for what they do.
This man is 17, ladies and gentlemen. Very cool. 2 years ago, a good friend of ours and your coach and a future Radio Golf Show Hall of Famer, David Ogren, walked the fairways with you, carrying your bag. I'm still impressed with that. I got to tell you that he made it during the 2023 Butterfield. Unfortunately, he'll be off the playing field until December. Who'll be on your bag this time around?
That is undecided as of right now. I've narrowed it down, so I have a list of people that I'll consider, but I haven't made my final decision
Okay, well, there you go. It's a competition. Will you keep us
yet.
posted? Can we have some odds? Who's the favorite? I wouldn't.
not ready to reveal
I wouldn't put you in that.
that
I wouldn't put you in that position. Which one is your favorite trophy in your trophy collection? I've seen some
now.
pictures of you with some big ones,
Yeah,
some big ass trophies.
so favorite trophy is my first trophy that I won here in Bermuda. There's a picture of me. I can't remember, was like 10 years old when I won it. But I was holding the trophy, and then I had another trophy in the other hand for because I won the overall and my age group. So I mean, yeah, that's my favorite trophy for sure. But best looking trophy is like an orange and blue teardrop crystal teardrop that I won from the Goodwill Championship that we have here in Bermuda in December. That was probably my favorite
Blue
looking.
and orange crystal teardrop. Oh, there you
Yes.
go. That
So pretty.
must have the spot right in the middle. I've touched on it briefly, but obviously you're now developing and you're in the gym and you're maturing and your ball flight is a little bit different. Do you think that regularly playing in the wind in Bermuda helps your development as a player?
In some ways, I would say so. It gives me definitely more of an advantage if it comes to wind. It was probably a bit of a downfall when playing away in competitions where there isn't wind and kids who aren't used to wind are able to launch the ball up in the air, which is something that I've worked on as well with my irons getting the launch. But I mean, first when I went to David back a few years ago, we were working on getting that ball up in the air just because it was always such a low ball flight for me, because of what I'm used to here. So there is upsides to it, but I'm happy now that I was able to learn early on how to control the ball in the wind and be able to use that now when I get into situations
All right.
like that.
I would imagine you would prefer a little bit of wind during the championship.
I think that would definitely give me an edge on the field.
There you go. An edge on the field in the PGA Tour event. Let's have a quick what's in the bag of Oliver Betschart. You're still wielding the Titleist sticks, I believe.
Yes, I'm pretty much all titleist.
Let's start with the driver. How many
Start with the
degrees?
driver.
What kind of
So,
shaft? The
so we've
insider
got.
look.
We've got an extra stiff shaft in it. It's actually a company that I met at the PGA show earlier in the year. It's called AutoMax, and they sent me a shaft for my driver, and I loved it. So it's been in my bag now for the last few months. Yeah, so that's a 9 degree driver set down to 8.25.
Well, there you go. That doesn't help with the high ball flight.
It does not, but I don't need it right now
There you
here in
go.
Bermuda. Yeah, so right now I'm in a unique situation with the bag. Still trying to figure out what goes between the driver and the 4 iron. At the moment, I have a 5 wood, which is 18 degrees with just an extra stiff shaft in it, and a 2 iron, so a T200 2 iron in the bag as well. Now the problem with those two are that they go the same distance. So I really like the feel of both of them, and the 2 iron is like the old reliable club that I can hit wherever when I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable with the driver or
That's your
something like
go-to.
that. It's the go-to.
What kind of yardage you get out of that? Out of the 2 iron?
A total will be around 240, I would say. Yeah,
Okay.
two 240, two
Have
fifty.
you seen those mini drivers that they're using on tour
I
now?
have, yes, I've been thinking of getting one. It's quite intriguing, but
It's like a
I'd have to
throwback.
still find the setup to go with it.
There
They
you
should
go.
just let us have 15 clubs in our bag. It'll be so much
Well,
easier.
there is some. That would be a rule change. And then your longest iron is a 4 iron, you said?
Yeah, 4 iron through to pitching wedge with T100s, Project S 120 gram shafts in them, also stiff. Then Vokey wedges, I'll go 50 degree, 54, and 58.
4 degree gaps. Very good
Exactly.
move, yeah.
Yep. And then I'm using a Myvicto putter at the well that I've been using now for the last few years as well, a Swiss company actually.
A Swiss putter. There you go.
Yes,
Well, if anybody knows precision, it's the Swiss, I would imagine.
that is the whole point.
And briefly before we started recording, we talked about the balls. And I asked you if you felt the difference between like a Pro V1 from 2023 and the Pro V1 from 2025, and you said yes. Talk to
Yes,
us about
yeah.
that.
So, I mean, it was a different feel because I was given some of the what are they called? The test balls for the 2025 version in 2024 to try them out, and I just was on the first tee. I hit my 2023 ball, and then I hit the 2025 one, and it felt like it shot off the face. With much kind of more compact impact. Felt a little bit softer, I would say. But also like I would get more feel from it. So I mean it was weird because I don't know a hell of a lot about bowls. And it was quite a new experience kind of feeling the difference just by a different year.
I mean, you said you feel the difference. Have you measured it, ball speed, on the TrackMan with the different balls?
I haven't, no.
Right,
It's a good
but
idea, though. I should try that.
well,
It's a good point, yeah.
I don't do that at all. I just know that Craig Miller, who was on here, who is the coach of Matti Schmidt, they're totally into stats. I mean, they measure all kinds of stuff. You know how he plays at an early tee time, at a late tee time, what how it changes. You know, I mean, it's just wild. And Matti will be at the Butterfield, so.
Yes, perfect. I said hi to we talked for a bit 2 years
Super nice
ago.
guy.
Oh yeah.
Kind of
Great.
reminds me
He's
of
a
you a
great
little
guy.
bit with the attitude. He's like, eh.
He's got a bit more of an accent than me.
That he does. You're absolutely
Yeah.
right. But I think he went, where do you go to college? Louisville, I think. It's like that Bavarian Kentucky twang, which is very rare. What are your plans for college? Are you obviously you must be thinking about it. At what point, and you're 17 now, so it's got to be coming up in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so I mean I'm a 2026 graduate,
Okay.
but I've only decided that the college path is what I'm going to do this summer, which makes me a year late to the whole recruiting process.
Okay.
So I mean I would kind of for the last year I would get messages from coaches asking to set up a phone call and I wasn't sure about college, so I would give him a reply, but not kind of totally sure on what to do. So now I talked to Puggy Blockman, who is a or used to be a coach for South Carolina Gamecocks, and he's one of my mentors as well. And we talked for a while, and he gave me the conversation where this is the next step. there's no need to rush into turning pro. You know, golf is one of those games where you don't have to peak super early. But then also, it was if you're not dominating at the junior level and dominating at the amateur level, what makes you think you can dominate and earn a living at the professional level, like going straight from amateur to pro, from being 18. So that was kind of the conversation that did it for me, to make up my mind, kind of taking it one step at a time and kind of feeling out my options and learning more, getting more experience through the college path. So that's what I've decided to do now. And since I'm late to the game, I'm also considering taking a gap year in 2026 and doing 2027. So that's always an option for me since I'm a
And
bit late to the
people might
recruiting
think, you know,
process.
Bermuda, South Carolina. I mean, it's not like it's 1,000 miles away. I mean, that's like a couple of hundred. You're a couple hundred miles off the American coast, correct?
Yeah, about right.
Or even you'd even be close to home.
Yeah.
Very interesting, South Carolina Gamecocks. Plus, you get the competition of playing with, you know, other college. I mean, look at all these guys, Aberg, whoever they are. There's only really a few guys that European guys that didn't go to college, but most of the American guys did. You also played in the Scottish Boys.
I did, yes.
Tell us about that. Where was it? What happened there?
We played Murray's Hole, or I'm not sure. I don't think that's how you pronounce it in Scotland. It's probably, I think it's Murray Shoal or something like that.
I have no
But
idea, but
yeah, I don't know. It was not what I was expecting. Because you go into Scotland, you're expecting a links style course, and it was a parkland course. So
well, that's disappointing.
yeah, it was definitely not what I was expecting, but still beautiful course. I mean, it was really similar, I would say, to maybe some of what you get here, and maybe, I don't know, a mix of Florida kind of in the trees sometimes a bit. But yeah, it was quite an experience, 'cause you're playing against, I think we had like a 140 player
Yeah, it's a big
field.
tournament.
It was
A huge
big
tournament.
tournament, yeah, for sure. And I knew some of the guys from Switzerland that were playing on the national team coming over, and yeah, I mean, I just played good. I played steady. I finished the tournament 6 under, I believe, and I finished fourth,
There you go.
which
Well, I mean, that's
was.
I remember that tournament. From way back when guys like Olazabal played in it, and a German guy by the name of Eckstein, and also in Scotland at an inland course at Royal Burgess, where I was a member. And did you get did you have enough time to go and play a links course in Scotland while you were there?
Yeah, so we did the whole trip, because it
Ah,
was my dad and
good.
I. We spent, I think, 2 weeks there. We did the Scottish Boys, then we did the Junior Open, which was at Kilmarnock Golf Club, right next to Royal Troon, I believe they played, or they, that was this year maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, we played Kilmarnock, and that was great too. I didn't play my best there. I was having a little bit of trouble with hooking the driver. But I mean, Junior Open was like, I think, 50 or 60 man field. So it was smaller, but it was the top players from every country, or from like 60 different countries. So it was an elite field, I would say. And I finished 12th there.
There you
So that
go.
was still a solid finish. But yeah, it was quite an experience. My dad and I, we were staying at an Airbnb, and it was a broom closet because the Open was there that week as well.
Oh, well, there you go.
So everything was booked out. We ended up packing our bags and staying at Dundonald Links
Well, there you go.
which is actually where a lot of the other pros were playing, and that's where I connected again with Brendan Todd, because we hit it off when I played in the tour event. So we
Cool.
reconnected there, which was nice. And John Daly was there, Min Woo Lee was there. So it was nice to be in that environment. And then we went to go watch the Open. And then through my dad's work, one of his clients invited us to play St. Andrews. So we played the old course and the new course, which was just amazing. We played with caddies. We all had our own caddy. Just one of those experiences that you're not going to forget. And to do it with my dad was pretty cool as well.
Well, one place where a hook drive doesn't really hurt you is on the first at St. Andrews, which is like 150-yard wide fairway, right?
Yep, I think I did actually hook it there a little bit. So
You did
I
not hook it
did.
over 18 on
It was
okay.
close to
It was
it.
close. There you go. Well, that's wonderful. That's the way it's got to be done. While we're on the topic of the Betchart family, I'm starting to read a lot about your sister.
Yeah, Dorina's doing great. This summer she's played the Optimist, which I also played, but she was in the younger age group. She also played Caribbean Junior Championships in Puerto Rico, which she won by like 21 shots. Yeah, it was quite impressive. She was able to post, I think it was out of the three rounds, she was under par for two or three of them. So it was, yeah, quite impressive, and really great to see that she's able to perform well and enjoy it still.
You better keep playing well, or we'll have her on instead of you. Now there's some pressure for you.
Yeah, she's definitely getting there.
There you go. Well, listen, man, I appreciate the time. As always, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, how mature you are and how open you are, and yet how young you are still at the same time. It's a super combination. I'm all for the college idea, and I think you're doing it the right way, and you're in good hands with your family and with people like David, who I'm sure will be rooting you on from Texas, as will we hear from Germany. If you make the cut, you make the cut. If not, you don't. It's no big
That's
deal.
the
What
mindset
what's going to happen?
right there.
We got our fingers and our toes crossed for you.
Much appreciated. I
Okay,
appreciate all
and
your support.
come back and tell us about your experience.
We'll definitely have to sort that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was it. Thank you for joining us to the Links Land.